Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the show. Junkies are presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. Don't forget, Dave Richard will join us tomorrow. He'll give you all that fantasy football goodness tomorrow.
I just sent him a text with four questions.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Do you have questions?
I'm not going to talk to him tomorrow.
Are these? Oh, because you're not going
to
be here.
I'm not going to talk to him.
Ah, okay.
Do you ever just look at his rankings?
I do.
All you really have to do is look at his rankings and take the higher ranked player.
I just like to. I like to.
You like to interact with Dave.
I like the back and forth.
Understood. And maybe you had a pressing question for tonight's game.
Did you pin down exactly where Daryl lived when Jason went over to small talk with Daryl before the interview?
I do kind of know where he lives.
Jason started asking. I live in Ashburn. Where do I never see you in Ashburn? Where do you live in Ashburn?
Literally, Jason is the king of Ashburn. If someone from Ashburn comes in here,
I've never seen a guy like that.
Perk up.
Yeah,
like,
Jason was breaking down the geography of Ashburn. He's like, "Well, Broadlands is here.
Nobody loves Ashburn.
Brambleton's here. Where are you?
You won't run for mayor of Ashburn.
You know,
is there
I will
a mayor?
Not,
you always do you guys
threaten,
have a mayor?
I don't think so. But I don't know.
You always threaten to move south, and you know, you ain't leaving Ashburn. You might
I think he's leaving.
I don't think he's leaving. Okay. He likes it too much.
It's getting too crowded.
He's not Leo from Wolf of Wall Street. He's leaving.
I don't get the reference.
You don't get the reference? You've never seen the...
I saw Wolf of Wall Street.
You've never seen the I ain't leaving? You never seen it?
No. Like what I remember from Wolf of Wall Street is the hot blonde...
Margot Robbie. Yeah.
Being like butt naked.
Sure.
You know, in the movie.
No, I just think it, because I've seen like former Redskins out and about Ashburn.
Yeah,
you've never seen him.
I mean, he's been there over 20 years, probably longer. And I've been there 20 years. I've never seen him.
He's not a bar fly like you. He's not.
Exactly.
What about a restaurant? What about just at a restaurant?
Yeah, I don't know.
Or just driving around. Right.
First of all, he's not flashy.
Gas station. I don't know.
When Daryl walked in here.
Harris Teeter.
I almost didn't recognize him for a second. He's just so... You know, regular.
Speaking of running into somebody at the Harris Teeter or the Safeway, we're kind of slow playing the fact that tomorrow we're doing the Great American Steak Off. We're cooking steaks tomorrow.
I'm totally sleeping on that.
With Tailgate Ted bringing all of his cooking gear.
Is he bringing the steak?
No, I think you got. Well, that's what we got to decide. You guys, you were hammering. Let's bring our own steak. Yeah. So.
Well, that's fine. But
Ted's bringing the grill.
Okay. So we
that's
just
all he's bringing.
Listen. You got to remind me. I'm busy. I'm busy.
Or do we go with the same cut and we just get a value pack and everyone's got the same sirloin?
If you do the value pack, you just have to make sure you don't misidentify whose is whose. I don't mind.
No, we'll make sure that's done correctly.
You'll be handling it.
Okay. I'm fine. I can make any.
Or
steak,
are we just responsible for our own steak? Do you want to?
That's what we're trying to figure out.
If you do it that way, which I'm happy to do, because I like a certain cut,
right.
And I think they're more flavorful than some of these other cuts that you guys get, then it distinguishes, it takes away the blind element.
I might have to go drive like MGM to Voltaggio and say, hey, just hook me up the Wagyu, big old slab of it.
Yeah.
Now, I wouldn't cook it the way they do. They cook it much better. But
how many steaks do we need?
Four.
Four.
Who's doing it? Me, Mar.
I'm doing one.
And then I'm doing one as well.
Yeah.
I think it's got to be the same cut.
Huh?
I think it's got to be the same cut.
That's
the only way to kind of make it fair, even playing field.
Well, then we have to determine what cut.
I don't care. I can make any cut silly. I can make anything silly.
I like ribeyes. That's my favorite cut.
Well, what comes in the value pack? What cut?
I mean,
like a strip?
I mean, it's different. You can get a lot of things in value. It depends on where you go. It depends on what the butcher
I'm a Costco guy.
Boom.
Costco's got
some good, got really good steaks. They got good cuts. They really do.
You guys handle the steaks. I'll bring my own seasoning. I'll pay you. Don't worry about the money.
Yeah, I'll pay you.
Don't worry.
Look at Valdez. He's the grocery store guy.
All right, just pick the steaks.
All right, hold on. We'll so I'm going to the store and I'm getting four steaks.
I guess.
Okay.
Don't get them from the scratch and dent.
Don't get the old crab meat with it. Don't get something I would have gotten from Sizzler back in 1994. You know good.
We'll make you whole.
Go to Wegmans. Yeah. Get the choice strip steaks. There's a 4-pack.
I'm a giant guy.
I know, but these are all together, sealed together.
They have those at Giant.
Just I don't care where you go. Get whatever you want. It can be the stiffest, terriblest. I'm gonna make it silly.
No, it has to be a thick enough cut. Like, you can't buy a thin cut steak.
I'm just saying, my confidence is such that you can give me hot garbage and I'll make it as good as it can be.
Okay,
made.
Bobby Flay can't make a real thin steak silly.
Okay. I'm not saying it's thin steak. I'm just saying I'm confident that no matter what piece of crap you bring in here, I'm going to make it taste as good as possible.
I don't want Valdez to get the face, but I think Cake should pick it out, actually. He's a specialist in
crab.
In the manager special.
Okay.
He doesn't know a good steak.
I know a good steak.
I trust him. Yeah. I trust him. He could even ask the butcher. He could go to the butcher's door
again,
and say, hey, give it.
So if you're getting the same cut, it shouldn't matter. It doesn't matter.
He's just trying to jone on me because I buy expired
meat. He's trying to goof on you. I understand.
I know. It just get whatever you get. If it's the same, and I think that's probably the fairest way. No problem. Whatever you get.
I like him doing it because it becomes a little more of a wild card. Like we don't know what we're in for.
It's like a grab bag. Well, like the show on the food where they just give you a bunch of stuff and you got to make a silly meal out of it.
I don't know the name of that show, but I know kind of.
Yeah, like Chopped.
Right, they give you a box. Like, hey, here's some beets. Here's some cottage cheese.
Yeah, make a great
meal.
Here's
a pork chop.
Yeah, you give me.
Best of luck to you.
We should do that. That's what we
do. What? Just a mystery box of food and then try to come up with something.
Make something.
I'm not
silly.
That silly. I mean, I can't whip something up with 8 random ingredients.
Right. All right. I'm good. All I have to bring in is the seasoning.
And I think Mike Marr was getting horny for bringing in your individual sides. I think we're focusing
on the steaks. I kind of did, but not. Listen, I got a tea time.
He's like, I'm busy. I got so many things going on.
It was his idea.
I know. Just
are we
going to
have masks?
It was his idea.
So that it is a blind taste test.
What do you mean masks? You don't need masks. Well, we'll give them to Drabby to distribute.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. Drab will be the waiter, and then JP and Jason are the and Ted, if he wants to be, the taste testers.
EB would have a real problem with JP being one of the taste testers.
Oh, yeah, unsophisticated pal.
JP's unrefined.
He likes everything.
He just eats garbage.
You put duty on a plate, he'll eat it.
Yeah, he doesn't care. He'll eat anything. JP will eat anything.
But I can rate them and distinguish.
I don't know.
We need a third party. Celebrity judge.
Yeah,
Tailgate Ted.
Definitely.
Probably had a billion steaks in his life.
Right. Totally.
Yeah.
Ted, sophisticated palate.
Yes.
I would hope. I would hope.
No excuses. That's what I want. I know Bickle will work a few of them up when he doesn't win, but no excuses tomorrow.
Well,
he could win.
I didn't have enough time.
Do I get to cook it myself?
That's the whole point.
What do you mean?
Well, because okay,
it's a steak.
Who do you think was cooking it?
Well, in other words, the seasoning is most of it.
And we got a sous chef.
Proper time to season my steak.
The difference is
the cooking.
I know
portion.
You dummies. I like a nice rare steak, rare plus. You guys are probably wussies. You know, you like yours like cardboard or something. So
no,
medium rare. You're the cooking it.
Yeah.
So tomorrow at 7:30 or so, you take it out, you season it. We do Feinstein at 8 on the grill at 8:20.
Yeah, perfect.
All right,
that sounds perfect. My steak will have enough time to come down to room temp with the seasoning mix. I'll be good to go.
Remind me.
Hey, are we all using the same? Are we all using the same grill? Because I like different temperature than you probably.
Was he bringing in four grills?
I don't need... I mean, Ted's bringing in a grill.
He's bringing in one grill.
Six burners, whatever that means.
I'm so versatile. Yeah.
I don't want my I don't want my steak touching your steak and your nub seasoning and everything.
Yeah, we're gonna be like fighting for grill space. Turf.
Yeah,
grill turf's gonna be important.
I like a certain section of the grill for my steaks.
All right. Excuses, listen, already working here.
I can work with anything. It's like I tell my wife when we play tennis. You can have the fanciest racket. Give me that $20 racket. I'm silly. I can cook with anything. I don't need a fancy.
Just make sure you remind him.
Yeah,
but you have to remind me because it's not top of mind. When I leave here, it's not top of mind. I'm sorry.
There, you do have a device called a phone. You can put a reminder in.
I know.
All right.
You can set like an alarm.
So you guys are going to have all four steaks on the grill at the same time.
I guess. I mean, that's probably the way it's going to work.
Hey, look, it's Paul Newman seasoning his steak.
What's the line, Jason?
You're joning.
What's the line?
What's the line on the winner? Who's the fave? Who's the dog?
I'm going to say Mike Moore is the favorite.
Mike Moore's the favorite over there.
Wow. Bickle's going to come in last. Because you got to remind him. He's gonna, you know what? He might forget to come to the show.
I was going to say, you might leave your steak on the grill too long and forget it's on there.
All right.
I think
Mike Moore is a minus 130.
Ooh, that's a prohibitive favorite.
Hell yeah.
Cakes is minus 115.
Okay. I'll take that.
Valdez, even money. Bickle, plus 160. There you go. Throw it on. FanDuel's going to have a prop bet.
Let Bickle cook. You're the new Russ Wilson.
Yeah, I'm not worried. You guys, Joan, I'm confident. I'm confident. It's the same steak.
Yes.
Yeah, same cut. Okay. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You have to have a control.
Yeah.
You have to have some consistency.
And we'll rate it 1 to 10.
You can rate it whatever you want.
Yeah, that's good. We have to decide
because we're the judges.
I think you have to rate it.
Hey, Dum Dum, I'm going to be sleeping in the Holiday Inn Express in the bed.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. He's not going to be here.
Yeah, you're going to have to get.
So it's me and Ted.
You and Ted and a
slave. I think we needed somebody else.
And Drabby.
How about Rod? No. You know what I mean? Somebody.
Yeah. How about Carlito?
We'll get a third judge.
What about Carlos downstairs?
Roger.
Me, Ted, and Drab.
You think Roger?
Three judges.
Who?
Drab.
No, Drab's biased.
No, yeah.
He's not going to be biased.
I'm biased. I'll have an eye out.
What about?
I'd love to sink Valdez.
He'll do anything for the show. Yeah. So he'll tank me or whatever. Like. Yeah.
What about Big John? That guy knows his way around a steak.
That'd be a good guess. No,
he's biased. I've joned on him too much.
He's not going to know which one's yours.
What about Karina?
She's too busy. Maybe Denton? If he's here,
Dent? He's had a lot of duties, so Dent. probably knows steak.
Hey, Dent?
I'm sized for. We need more Roger.
Yeah, Roger. Yeah, you know, Roger would be a good one.
I love Roger, but I mean, it's really a curveball.
Hey, we got steak. What do you think about that?
I'll be honest with you. Do you think I'm being completely honest here? Probably not politically correct. Do you think he could discern which ones he would like more than others? Like, I'm being honest.
You don't think he could?
I don't know.
Hey, that was good. I like your Roger.
That's why we rank like 1 to 4. You should be able to figure it out.
All right. Well, I think we need decibel points. We need to at least go into the 10.
Okay.
Well,
it's fine. I can give a 8.3.
it's got to be a little more precision.
Hey, you just worry about going to the grocery store and getting your spices all
picked
out.
That said, EB, I've been watching because my wife is doing the Dance with Stars. They just give the regular number, 8, 9, or 10.
Yeah.
Or a 5 or 6.
Yeah, that's dancing.
I know, but it's 3 people.
Yeah.
The odds of a tie are
not
high.
I think with food, you got to be a little more precise.
If you come in first, will you tell everyone your secret spice mix? Like your Marco Polo or something?
He's a big adobo guy.
Who's he, Colonel Sanders? He just says adobo.
I'll just make anything work. I mean, I don't have to have the same spices. I mean, adobo is a key part of mine.
Everyone get adobo and put it on there.
Yeah.
Listen, I don't even care. I probably won't win. You guys will probably just, the fix will be in. I'm already resigned to it. But you're going to like it. That I promise. I'm sure the fix is it. I don't trust you guys.
What do you mean?
Like a rigged election. I don't trust you guys at all.
Look, see, he's already got the excuses. Oh, I should have won, but it was fixed.
Yeah.
Oh, the guy, he won with a stale peanut butter and jelly a couple years ago.
It was not stale.
It was the stalest bread ever.
What are you talking about? I bought it the day before.
I had a delicious soft brioche bread. I made an amazing peanut butter
Cakes
jelly.
Is still lamenting that.
Yeah, I got
you didn't go with a I went with a traditional like kids PBJ.
Yeah,
you went with like some fancy thing.
Yeah.
That's not a PBJ.
I fancied up a PB&J. I made it actually better.
You tried to make a PBJ.
Why are you being a sore
bougie?
Loser?
Yeah. I'm just pointing like out.
No, that's the definition of a sore loser.
I'm just pointing out that I got job.
I used this freaking like Welch's jelly and, you know.
Yeah, you made a
Skippy
Nubs,
peanut butter.
Made a Nubs PB&J.
And that, white bread. And I won.
The kids were getting the second grade lunch.
Yeah. You tried to make it bougie. You can't make PBJ bougie.
Yeah. You know what? I tried to make it better. I tried to make an American standard better.
Yeah. Well, you took a risk.
I guess so.
I swung and
you have a chance to win again tomorrow, yeah, Cakes.
Exactly. All right, so tomorrow, the Great American Stakeout. We're doing that, what, at 8:20? After John Feinstein?
Yeah.
Sure. The prep starts at 8, but the grilling starts at 8:20.
Perfect. So we'll be doing that tomorrow. And we're also rescheduling Dave Richard, who was not on the show today.
Correct.
Coming up next, we'll talk some puck with Nick Dowd from your Washington Capitals. He will join us next here on The Fan. Welcome back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The show Junk's on 106.7 Fan.
What are you laughing at?
Such a good intro.
I'm laughing because Valdi, hopefully we'll be joined shortly by Nick Dowd from the Washington Capitals. Just let everybody know.
Uh-huh. Did Cakes, I didn't hear what Jason said. I'm guessing it had to do with walk-up song.
It was.
I knew it. I just know him so well.
That's because you heard me
no,
say
No, I did
it.
Not hear you, but I just, because I had my headphones on, but you were like, and I could just tell.
Well, I thought this was his walk-up. I love that song.
I can't remember if we even asked Nick Dowd if he...
I think you said.
I thought we did.
No, I think you told him to think about it and let us
marinate
know.
Marinate for a week. Yeah. Okay.
Right,
so hopefully he'll have his answer. When
but I thought he picked that one.
No, I was laughing because Valdez dropped this on me like 2 seconds before we went on the air. He's like, Mike Barr just asked me why we can't use a propane tank indoors.
Oh, geez. We're going to blow up the building?
Yeah. You want a 10-15 half street to go up like a mushroom cloud? Bring a propane tank in here grilling.
That's how like 90% of house fires start.
I've never been more supremely confident that I'm going to beat him. If he asked why can't we grill indoors.
Yeah, you know what? The odds just flipped.
The tote board just,
I guess that it was stupid. I was just thinking, like, you know, 10 minutes max is what it's going to be on. Like, maybe we'll be able to get in, get out quick.
Right, right. Yeah, it's not
work.
The fire marshal would not be a big fan of grilling
and
on the second floor. That's such a great question.
Where are you going to be? Right out the entrance at the front?
I think we'll be right
the
down
loading
by
dock,
the
right down
dumpsters.
Oh, right down here. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, by the trash.
And Tailgate Ted sent a picture of the grill that we'll be using. It's ample size. There'll be plenty of room for all of us.
And we're all going to be cooking at the same time.
But it's like a 6 foot. Yeah.
I know, but we're going to be in the way of each other. Trust me.
Well, we just have to pick a spot on the grill. And, I mean, the steak's only going to be this big. How much room?
I don't know.
How much room do you need?
Yeah, but we need room for your big ass.
Okay, I mean, we're all going to be around it at some point. It's a 6 foot grill. It's pretty big.
Now, you'll be bumping into
each
other. You'll be bumping into each other.
It doesn't make sense to have four guys cooking on the same. I mean, it's insanity.
Hey, you know what? This is a radio bit.
Hey, is Nick on?
I think he's calling us right now. Yes, Nick Dowd is on the BetQL guest hotline.
I don't get it. This was your idea. and you're complaining about it. You're saying we're all going to be bumping into each other. What about the meat?
Remind me.
I wasn't consulted on that those aspects.
Well, what do you want? Have four different grills out there? I don't know.
Or maybe we just have to take different times.
What if you did different times and then you taste like EB's in the 6 o'clock hour?
It's going to take over the whole show. The entire show.
Build the drama. Get the scores and be independent.
Oh. All right. We're joined now on the BetQL guest hotline by Nick Dowd from your Washington Capitals. And I'm guessing he's been to a lot of great steakhouses, like during road trips.
Mm-hmm.
Dowder, good morning.
Hey, guys. Good morning. How we doing?
What's your favorite cut of steak?
Yeah, I'm sure you're a medium rare guy. How do you get it cooked?
I mean, if you're not a medium rare guy, why are you eating steak?
Great point.
All right.
What did you say his favorite cut was?
What's your favorite cut?
I'd probably say, honestly, ribeye.
Ribeye, right. Okay, good.
Can't go wrong with ribeye.
Do you get a little fat in there, you know, a little flavor.
Exactly. Do you goof on your teammates to go to a steakhouse and order, like, chicken breast? Or they order, like, sea bass?
Anybody that orders chicken at a nice restaurant.
Yeah. I mean, if you order chicken or fish at an actual steakhouse, it's going to be a challenging meal.
Yeah, it's going to be tough.
All right.
Well, Dowder, you assisted on the fourth goal in the win over the Golden Knights. And that was a remarkable play by you. Mm-hmm. I mean, Chychrun took the puck off the boards like at mid-ice. He gets it to you like a little bit past the blue line. And it looked like you were about to fumble the puck. And then you just...
I tried my best.
Yeah, you swatted it kind of out of midair. And then he did the same thing. I mean, that was a pretty remarkable goal.
Thank God Chick has good hand-eye. Because, I mean, if there's any indication of... That's how I pass to my teammates. It must be tough to play with me. But yeah, no, it was nice. It was nice to see Chick get his first. That's always nice as a new player on a new team. You know, it's not something I think that too many people stress about, but you know, it's always nice to get out of the way.
I can't remember. Did you get the high stick in that game or the first game?
I got the high stick. I tried to spend a lot of time in the box in the first game. Two penalties that day.
When you do that, are you mad at yourself? Like, what are the feelings immediately when you get sent into the sin bin?
Yeah, I mean, it depends. If, you know, if it's a penalty where, like, the two penalties that I took, one was a trip where you're just like, okay, well, yep, that was a trip. Skate over the box and really have nothing to say. And the other one was a high stick, which you can't really say anything about that either. So I think it depends on the penalty. I think those two, I kind of just immediately skated over, sat down, and took a breath and tried to calm down I knew the boys would get it down on the penalty kill, but I think if it's one where it's kind of a borderline call and you feel like the referee may have made a mistake, then first you got to yell at him and then you get to the box and you're probably still steaming pretty good. So,
Dowder, what did the coaching staff and Carbs try to emphasize to you guys after the Devil loss going into the Vegas game?
I think it was just a compete thing. You know, I think it was a compete and a communication thing in my opinion. And I think that was kind of something that they touched on as well. I thought in the Devil game, being that it was our first game of the season, we're playing with a lot of new guys. I mean, that was the first time that we played with, you know, basically with that entire lineup all together. And so we had some new faces. You know, and you're trying to work through a couple things, right? I mean, not saying that there was any excuse or anything, but that was the Devil's fourth game, I think. I think there was so many plays where if we had just talked to each other, hockey happens so fast. A lot of the times, like, you have to rely on other people's voices to let you know what to do. I felt that in the first game, a lot of us, including myself, would kind of watch something unfold and, you know, you're kind of waiting to see what the guy would do as opposed to, trying to help him out, communicate with him. And then I think that got figured out in the next game. I think there's a lot more communication and guys were able to make a lot more plays under pressure. And I think that led to better hockey. So.
Hey, Dowder, do you want to hear some gushing praise from a hockey blog that all of us here follow? I'm going to read it to you.
I do not. I don't want to hear it.
You
don't even give it to me.
No. You know what? You're going to hear it. You're going to hear it anyway. This is.
Didn't seem like a question then.
This is right, Chris exactly. Cerullo from RussianMachineNeverBreaks.com. Each time I checked on Tuesday night, Nick Dowd's line featuring Dowd, Brandon Duhaime, and Taylor Radish jumped off the page. At the end of regulation, the three had started zero shifts in the offensive zone, yet absolutely dominated Vegas. With Dowd on the ice at 5-on-5, the Caps held positive differentials in shot attempts, scoring chances, and high danger chances. They gave up just one scoring chance, zero high danger chances, and also scored two goals during those minutes. Absurdly good. You should print that out and bring it into Carbs and show it to them.
Or the GM.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll get, maybe get that framed for the wall at home. Who knows?
I mean, that feels nice when people like spotlight your good play, I would think.
Yeah. I mean, it's always good to be praised. I think hockey's I think any sport, players know how they played, you know, right when the game ended, right? I mean, you could come out of the game with 2 or 3 points, and you know that you're like, oof, I had a brutal game, but man, I was lucky to get a couple points. That's always nice, you know? And then you play those games where you're like, man, I played really, really well, and I was -2. Like, how does that work? You know, and if everyone knows that, right? Like, we all know that going exiting games. So I think, you know, the self-awareness is good. To be honest, I've never been one to read any of that stuff. I don't have a big social media presence. I find a lot of times I walk into the rink and guys will say stuff and I'm like, oh, I didn't know that happened, or oh, this guy got traded, or even, you know, football, baseball, whatever. They're like, oh, you guys see that? I'm like, I actually didn't see any of that. So, and I think that's been really helpful to me. I kind of got off of it when I was in LA, as a rookie, and I found it just wasn't, you know, even the good or the bad, right? Because, you know, you play one game of 82 and you go out and you don't have a consistent game the next night, you know, kind of what, you know, it's all for nothing in my opinion.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, I had to double check because I to promote your appearance, I put up your Twitter and I think the last time you tweeted was from Disney in 2017.
Oh, that goes way back.
Nice job.
Yeah. I think that might've been with Nick Jensen too.
So does that mean like you're basically, yeah, you're not even like locked in on like other sports? Like you're just kind of punched out and just with family, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, I honestly, I feel like that started when I was little. I grew up in Alabama. I have two parents, both, you know, two British parents. They weren't very dialed into, you know, to any of, like, we didn't have any professional sports there, right? We weren't like Alabama or Auburn fans growing up, so we weren't dialed into college. I liked watching, you know, Alabama Huntsville play hockey, but back then there was no social media. I mean, none of that, right? So I feel like growing up, I honestly don't have too much of a professional sports following. I like watching sports. On Sunday, I watch football and stuff, but it's not something where I got a lot of buddies, and you guys, I'm sure you guys do too, and where they go out of their way to watch a lot of sports.
Oh, yeah. Our lives kind of revolve around it. It's kind of weird.
We kind of have to, yeah.
Well, that's, yeah, for sure. So my opinion is, you know, I get a lot of sports when I go to the rink, and you know, if it's on, it's on. But, yeah, I wouldn't say I'm you're probably right. I'm not too dialed into anything else, really.
All right,
you know,
so
a lot of family time.
Let's talk about tonight's game before we let you go. Talk about Dallas.
I don't even know who they're playing.
Yeah, you might not even
no,
know.
He knows who they're playing.
But they, I'm just kind of looking.
I know that. Yeah. Come on, fellas.
Nick, I'm just kind of looking at Dallas's numbers. They're 4-0. All right, so they haven't been beaten. Yeah. They've only allowed 5 goals in the 4 games. They have 2 shutouts. So obviously, they got a pretty damn good goalie, I assume.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
But talk about them and the prep for that game.
Yeah, so we'll kind of dive in that today. I mean, you know, hockey, again, a lot like other sports, probably not like football, I guess, but probably a lot like baseball in terms, like, you know, yesterday we had a practice day. It was an optional day for some guys, and we went over some clips from, you know, the game before, some stuff that we wanted to clean up and kind of get guys thinking about going into today. But today we'll dig into Dallas this morning, and then we'll have a pregame skate, and then we kind of touch on them again at night before the game. So, I mean, I know that, you know, in the last 4 to 5 years, they've been a really, really good hockey team, and that shows, you know, in their regular season run and their playoff run. So, I mean, we know their personnel. Their team hasn't changed too much, and they're a very good team. So I know they, you know, just from playing them in the past, obviously really good goaltending, which helps bail any team out in if there's problems. But, you know, they're a fast team. They have a lot of guys that can make a lot of high-end plays. Honestly, a lot like Vegas, in my opinion. You know, Vegas was the same way. Really fast team. a lot of guys that can make high-end plays, some really, you know, specifically elite players on their team. So and good special teams, good power plays. So we'll have to be on our game tonight for all that.
Mm-hmm. Dowder, did you pick your walk-up song for your weekly appearance? Did you do your homework?
Oh, my God. I did not do my homework, guys. Holy moly.
All right. That's all right. Just put a reminder in your phone. Think about it.
I will.
And we'll settle on that next week.
What kind of a student were you as a kid? Did you do your homework back
You're
then?
You're thinking he was a bad student.
I'm curious.
I was actually a pretty good student, I'm not going to lie. But I think, you know, I didn't have a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old either. So
That's true.
It's a big difference. It's a game changer.
All right, Dowder, get those 2 points against Dallas, and we'll talk to you again next week, man.
All right, thanks, fellas. Always good to talk to you.
Yeah, right, thank you, buddy. Nick Dowd from your Washington Capitals. Don't forget, later in the show, Mayor Muriel Bowser of Washington, D.C. She's giving the key to the city to Daryl Green. She's going to join us coming up at 9:45. You know, we often joke that we don't really have any job skills other than this. Like, we can't do anything else. We've been doing this for so long.
BSing.
We just can't do anything else.
It's over.
Like, we're not qualified to do anything else.
Right. This is all we can do.
Do you know what is a hot job skill right now? If you care to guess.
Well,
I
no
would
idea.
I want to guess from each of you. A hot job skill that's in demand now.
Something to do with AI.
Incorrect. I mean, it's not definitely AI true. Related. Your guess is in. Jason?
No idea.
Just guess. Just give me a guess.
It's not even close to AI. Is it? Don't tell me it's like a chef.
Not culinary related. No. Incorrect. JP?
Just saw an article in the Wall Street Journal that said the new class of millionaires, plumbers and HVAC guys. Mm-hmm. So I'll go HVAC.
So handy with the trades. No. Apparently, the hot job skill right now. Golf.
What do you mean golf?
Having a hot golf would be a good golfer is a hot job skill right now. Companies are eager to hire strong golfers who use hybrid work schedules to schmooze clients out on the golf course.
Gotcha.
Standout golfers who aren't quite PGA Tour material now have somewhere else to play professionally. Corporate America.
Totally.
That makes all sense in the world.
They're sought after hires in finance, consulting, sales and other industries.
Yeah.
Getting work out.
How is anybody supposed
to
guess that?
I don't know.
I mean, seriously.
I just had you guys guess.
That's the last one I would guess.
Right. Well, that's the point, though. We weren't supposed
to. Why does it have to be a strong golfer?
Well, because it's impressive.
Because
a lot of clients.
They want a ringer.
Yeah.
They want a ringer out on the course to network and make their company look silly.
Yeah.
You see a cakes out there playing for your company, you think the stock's going to tank.
It might. It very well could. Yeah, totally.
You need someone. You need someone who's good on the course, not only a single digit handicap.
They got to be a good people person.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they got to schmooze.
Keep their emotions in check. They can't be slamming their clubs and cursing.
They need all the standard jokes. Like, does your husband play? If you miss a putt short,
just please leave those jokes.
By the way, I've said this a million times, and I totally believe it, that if you play a round of golf with someone, that's the best way to kind of judge a person, sort of. You get a great evaluation of who they are as a person. You see how they handle success, how they handle failure, their honesty, just everything. You play a round of golf with someone, you know them as well as any other 4 hours you could ever spend, other than like if you're in a foxhole in a war or something. Like, you know.
Well, hopefully that never comes to that.
Right. I mean, you really get to know someone when you play four hours of golf with them. Because you go through the gamut of emotions.
And my emotions are mostly I just want to leave.
Flat. Yeah, yeah.
Ambivalence.
Yeah, I just want to.
All I could think about.
One or two good shots and then leave.
By the 17th hole, all I could think about was dinner.
Right.
That's all I wanted to do was just have dinner.
Mm-hmm.
It was all done.
That's what my life was before this show when I had a job. All you can think about is where you're going for lunch.
Sure, it's important.
Oh, yeah. When I had a real job,
right?
Well, I also thought about my duties. I did a morning and an afternoon bathroom break.
Something's never changed.
No, but I didn't even have to duty. I would just sit on the toilet and read bodybuilding magazines.
I mean, you were doing that, and I was puffing coffin nails outside of the Toys R Us.
Yeah.
I worked there so long ago, I used to smoke them in the break room. Like when you
inside.
You still smoke inside.
Wow, that was
that's
a
long time ago.
That is a long time.
That's
ago.
That's a long time.
Ago. You realize how smoky that that room
so
was.
So smoky. So many people just in there burning.
Well, you know, didn't have teachers.
Lights.
Teachers had that growing up.
Well, I'm sure.
Teachers think, had basically.
When did they ban
room.
Smoking on planes?
I know. You watch old movies. You see people smoking on airplanes.
Yeah. I think I remember being on a plane. Now I could 100%. Be making it up, but I think I remember people smoking
they had
on
sections.
Planes. Yeah,
I can't remember that, but I do remember distinctly. My dad taking me to the old Caps Center for old Caps games and Bullets games back in the day. And you could, I don't think you could smoke in your seat, but you could smoke on the concourse. And there was always just a haze of Marlboro Red smoke anytime I went to a Caps game, like in the early 80s.
Right.
I remember that. Like, my eyes would be burning.
Right.
And then I was dumb enough later to ingest those poisons myself.
Well, now it's just been replaced by weed. Which is just awful.
Yeah, but were you ever smoke it inside?
Would you have ever considered yourself addicted to smoking?
No, I was. I was more.
But during your waiter days,
was it hard for you to stop?
No, no. I was
prior
more psychologically
to prior
addicted.
To Toys R Us, when you were a waiter, I remember. Like to me, that was peak cake smoking.
Yeah,
1995
at Wason's.
My peak smoking probably. I was a half to a three quarter pack a day guy for a while. And then I was like, well, this is just dumb. I'm killing myself. I know I'm killing myself.
Mm-hmm.
Dumb. Stopped.
I know I'm killing myself. Drinking can't stop.
Well, I think, look, drinking is one thing. Smoking is way worse. If you want to reserve yourself a burial plot, smoke a pack a day. And you're going to get there with the quickness.
Maybe.
Smoking way worse than drinking, I think.
I'm not convinced. I think drinking's pretty bad for you.
Not as bad as smoking cigarettes.
It might not
now, if you're drinking 8 or 10 drinks a day and you're a full-blown alcoholic, yes.
Yeah.
If you got 2 or 3 a day, you're casual, I think you're good. That's just my...
Yeah. You're making rationalizations.
Confirmation bias.
Defending yourself.
I'm defending my priors.
Yeah.
Or confirming my priors.
Right.
Yeah, smoking way
well,
worse.
Well, no, I mean, I remember, like, I imagine a guy like... Now, Bob's a good golfer. But I imagine a guy like Bob Ehrlich. In fact, I think he was, like, after he was governor, he was, like, hired at a law firm. I think it's a lot, I mean,
John, rainmaker.
Yeah, I mean, he was playing golf with guys and making deals.
Right.
But he was a good golfer. Mm-hmm. He represented the company, former governor.
He looks good wearing your company polo out on the court.
Bringing in the business, not necessarily litigating.
Yeah, exactly. So, Valdez, this is what you should do.
I'm for hire.
You're like a 5 handicap, right?
I'm just waiting for the gov to invite us back to his house again and for JP to grab his remote and switch the Ravens game during every commercial.
Yeah.
Keep Red Zone on.
Right.
That's a core memory.
We're missing all the games.
He invited us over to watch the Ravens game.
He did.
That's right.
That is true. It was during commercials he wanted to change. I get it. You know,
it was awkward.
I wouldn't do it at the gov's. No. Although now I go to parties. Like I say, if I see a nice television, I would, and you know, especially, we don't want to talk to people for 4 hours.
No,
I mean, put the game on, it distracts me.
Sure. Hey,
you know, I've had people reach out to me to try and pay me to play in their scramble with them.
Really?
You should.
Look at that.
I know.
You not accept it? You let them pay all your entries and everything, obviously.
Yeah. They do the entry, but like one of them said, like, dude, I'll pay you like $500 to.
It's that important for them to do well?
Well, not just do well, but he had clients, and they're all fans of the show as well, and they know I'm a good stick.
Oh, like an appearance fee for
you. Yeah, kind of.
Oh, nice. You should do it. And were you like humble, fake humble, and like, no, I'll just do it?
I mean, it conflicted
with
stuff that I had going on a Friday before, but the offer's been there.
I'm available, too, if they want a 19 handicap.
Sure, you're in the mix.
You'll take the 500.
Maybe 18 and a half.
I would need an appearance fee. I only like to play with my friends. I'm just being
honest. You're just putting it out there.
Well, that was icing on the cake. Like, I would play in one before if it lined up and everyone seemed like good dudes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't mind that. I like golf that much.
Right.
Now, I understand it's a six-hour round and it's going to be 6 hours of junkies questions.
Oh. Right.
Oh yeah,
that is gonna be a lot of
especially,
that.
Yeah, if you're like with some hardcore guys, yeah.
He's gonna hear the old. Well, what do they do after 10?
That would annoy you.
Yeah,
you might only do one of those.
Is Jason that cool in person? I mean, you know how many times I've heard that.
Really?
The answer is yes.
Yeah, he is.
Who knows what he says? Who knows what his answer is?
I said they're all cool.
Mm-hmm. Good answer. Good answer, Valdez.
I don't say that.
I did see you tweeted.
Except Drab.
I saw you tweeted about your membership at Hidden Creek Country Club.
Yeah,
yesterday.
I did the trial period there.
Yeah.
And they have a promotion where you don't have to put anything down and it's half price dues. And I didn't know if I would like it for a year. And I ended up liking the course a lot. It's very walkable.
Yeah.
The membership was the selling point is that it's a bunch of people my age. And I love all the events that they have there and like all the tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest with you, the price from what it was to what it is after a year's up kind of made sense.
Yep.
If you play golf at least once a week, it makes sense. So
there you go.
So I re-up.
You're in.
I'm in. I had envy. I had Country Club Envy from you and Eric. Okay.
All right.
Jason playing golf anywhere he wants. Also, I feel so much better about
not to beg for golf.
Yes, I know.
So embarrassing.
You would have to kind of call your shot weeks in advance about where you wanted to play, what time.
Yeah.
Keep an eye on the weather.
I mean, I still call that guy, our buddy, is it Dave Long over at Renditions?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm still embarrassed when I send those texts. Hey, man.
I know. It's
embarrassing.
It is.
But I'm also, I don't like paying. So
you'll suffer the embarrassment.
I only do it once or twice a year.
Understood.
Yeah, but I'm officially a member at Hidden Creek. You see me out there? Come say hi.
Yep.
Nice.
I'll be out there today.
Nice.
Newly minted member.
Yeah.
Member.
Hey, buy him a drink.
Drew's a member. What's a member?
Buy me a drink.
All right, when we come back, we'll do EB's entertainment page. And at 9:40, we'll be joined by Mayor Muriel Bowser. She's giving the key to the city to Daryl Green this weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.